Today's Shir Masechet Beis Daf Yud Tes. We will begin on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, second line on top of Amud. We continue discussing the halachas of toivling a keli on Yontif. We know that when Yontif is when we speak about the Jewish day and night, by us the day begins every day at night, and night is certainly by Tzeisik Achavim. The question is, there is a time period in our day called Bein Hashmashes. And the halacha always is concerned, how do we look at the Bein Hashmashes? Is Bein Hashmashes considered still part of the previous day? Is Bein Hashmashes considered tomorrow already? So if you have a time which is Bein Hashmashes, going from Erev Yontif to Yontif, and you need to Toivel a keli, the question obviously will be, can you toivel that keli bein hashmashes? If it's still Erev Yontif, then you may. If it's Yontif, as we've been learning, one may not toivel a keli on Yontif. So says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, klisha nitma merev Yontif. If you have a keli that became tamei in Erev Yontif, eimat bilan leisoi bein hashmashes, you may not toivel it Bein Hashmashes. And as the Rishonim point out, even though the Isser of Tfilas Kalim is only an Isser Drabbanan, and we've discussed many times in our Shurim that by Drabbanan we're more lenient, so why don't we say Sofet Drabbanan Lahakal and allow the Tfilas Kalim during that time? The halacha is that Bein Hashmashes, since it's a period in all areas of halacha that's considered a time of a suffix, so that's why Chazal were never lenient in that time. It says the Gemara of Shimon Shazuri Oimer, Af Bechol En Matpil Naisai. Not only when you have such a question on a time which may be Yontif, and of course when it's Yontif, you now have to Toivel Keli, but even during the week, you should not toivel keli bein hashmashes, nei shetzara cherev shemesh. We know that whenever you have to take something to the mikveh itself does not make full tahara. What's also required is cherev shemesh, that it should wait till the day passes. So now, if somebody takes something to the mikveh during the day, so when the night afterward comes and passes, we certainly have accomplished cherev shemesh. However, when you take something to the mikveh by Bein Hashmashes, so now the question that we just discussed comes back. Do we say that when you took the keli to the mikveh, it was still day? And if you took the keli when it was still day, now when night will come, you will have had Harif Shemesh, and the keli is tahar. Or on the other hand, perhaps Bein Hashmashes is already tomorrow, and therefore, if you want to wait for Harif Shemesh, you have to wait till tomorrow night passes. And therefore, a person who's going to take a keli, says Rav Shimon Shazuri, during that time, he probably assumes that as soon as night comes tonight, I'll be able to use that keli. But that isn't true, because maybe that period when he took the keli was already tomorrow, and he has to wait for tomorrow night's Harif Shemesh. And he'll use the keli improperly. And because of that, Rav Shimon Shazuri says that you should never take a keli at that time of the day to the mikveh, because it could only cause an issue. So what does it mean that you shouldn't take a keli during that time? So the Miri says that if we see, of course, if he took it to the mikveh and he immersed it in the mikveh, so he did what he was supposed to do. So the Miri explains, what it means is that if we see somebody taking a keli to the mikveh during that time, we have to tell him that you shouldn't do so because you're opening yourself up to questions of Harif Shemesh. Another, but ask the Tzlach, if that's the kind of person that doesn't care, what are we accomplishing this? So he says that the pshat is that a person should... We should close the mikvahs, says the Tzlach. If we close the mikveh during that time, nobody will come to make a mistake. The Tana Kama asked the Gemara, Rav Shimon Shazuri makes all the sense in the world. Does he not require Harav Shemesh? Why is he being lenient? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashkechtena lo derabanan debei Rav, the Yasiv Ka'amri, b'machshavta in the keres v'toch masv k'milvgi. The question between the Tanakam and Shazuri is, sometimes we see a person's act clearly indicates where he's coming from. What happened here is like this. V'echi domi. The nokim mana b'yad v'rad v'ozol. This person is holding a keli and running to the mikveh by Bein HaShemoshes. Let Bule to take it to the mikveh. Sover. So the Tanakam's opinion is, hide the card right for Ozel. Why is the person running to the mikveh? Obviously, made the idea to buy a Harav Shemesh. He obviously knows that he needs Harav Shemesh, and he knows that he has to get it to the mikveh before Bein HaShemoshes, because he knows if he's going to get it to the, if it's only going to get to the mikveh by Bein HaShemoshes, then he's going to have to wait till tomorrow night. So the fact that he's running is the best indication that he's very well aware of the halacha. And therefore, we don't have to be concerned that if he sees that he missed it and that he ended up only getting to the mikveh Bein HaShemoshes, he's going to use the keli at the wrong time. The fact that he's running doesn't indicate that he's well aware of everything we just said. There are people who are always in a rush. They have to get to their job, and that's why they're in a rush. And there's no raya from his behavior to his knowledge of the halachim. V'amina lo ana, Rava says a different teretz. B'machshavta nekeres b'toch masv k'milvgi lo pligi. If there's a situation where it's quite clear that he knows the halachim, there's no reason for Rav Shimon Shazuri in the Tana Kama tava machloikus. There's no reason for us to be machmer. We see clearly that this person knows what he's doing. Ki pligi. When do we have this machloikus? Ki goyin de'itmi. The minimum amount of a keli to become tamei from a sheretz is when it has the size of an adasha. And the reason is, as the Rishonim explain, because the Gemara Masechta Chagiga says that fiur aleph amir aleph, that the smallest size sheretz that there is the size of an adasha, the size of a bean. And therefore that became the shear of tumah by shrotzim. And this keli became tamei with the shear of less than a dasha. And he's coming to ask the Rav of Shaila, when my keli became tamei with a shear of less than a gadasha. He wanted to know what is the status of the keli. Mar Sava, so if Shimon Shazuri's opinion is, Midlah Gomer, the fact that this person is not so knowledgeable in Hilchis, he doesn't know the halacha of Adasha. It's an indication that Harav Shemesh Nami Lagomer, that he doesn't know the halacha of Harav Shemesh. And since he doesn't know the halacha of Harav Shemesh, we can't let him take the keli to the mikveh Bein HaShemoshes, because he may come to make a very significant mistake. Just because he doesn't know the halacha of Pachs Mekadasha, doesn't mean Harav Shemesh Gomer. He does know that halacha, and therefore we can allow him to take it to the keli. So the question is, can his act in one area of halacha be an indication of his knowledge or lack of knowledge in another area of halacha? And the Gemara is teaching us that one has nothing to do with the other. The Meiri has a but according to Rashi, the way to understand the Gemara is that of course he ran. If he didn't run, then that's clearly an indication that he doesn't know the halacha, and there would be no way to be lenient. The Miri disagrees, and the Miri says that even though we didn't see him running, it's still the situation that we have this machlokes. Is this an indication, the fact that he doesn't know one halacha, does he not know another halacha? The Gemara Masechta Ervin, the Aflame Beis, discusses the status of Melocha Bein HaShemoshes. Of course, on Shabbos, one may not do Melocha. So the question is, what's the Halacha about doing Melocha during Bein HaShemoshes? And the Halacha the Gemara says there is that Bein HaShemoshes, one may do a Shavus. A Shavus is an Issa D'Rabbanan. And the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, when they quote this Gemara, say that you could only do a Shavus Bein HaShemoshes if it's a Tzarech Gadol, if there's a real need for it. Says therefore the Taz, then one could toivel a keli ben ishmashus if he has no other keli available on Shabbos, because that's considered a tzairach gadol. You need it for Shabbos. The Shagas Aryeh disagrees. And the Shagas Aryeh says that the Issa Rabbanon to toivel kelim ben on Erev Shabbos ben ishmashus is never waived, even when it's a tzairach gadol. He says that if we're going to toivel the kelim, we're going to immerse the kelim beta shmashas, then people would specifically wait till beta shmashas to toivel the kelim when they're not so busy. That means all of Erev Shabbos, all of Erev Yontif, people are extremely busy. And the reason they're busy is because they know that once beta shmashas comes, you're not allowed to do malach anymore. Says the Shagas Aryeh, if a person knows that Tfilas Kalim could be delayed until Bein Shmoshes, he says, we'll find people delaying their Tfilas Kalim to Bein Shmoshes. And as we just learned in our Sugya, taking a Kali to the Mikveh Bein Shmoshes represents serious issue. Says the Rosh, that this halacha, that of taking a Kali Bein Shmoshes, is only in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, where they lived in a world of Tumah and Tahara, and therefore the halacha of Harav Pein Shemeshes is very important because it has a direct impact on Harav Shemesh, and we have to wait for Harav Shemesh. Says the Rosh, Bezman Azeb, we discussed this in our previous year as well, Bezman Azeb, the only reason people take Kalim to the mikveh is because the halacha is that if somebody buys a Kali from Akum, he has to take it to the mikveh. But for that halacha, there is no requirement of Harav Shemesh. And therefore, the Rosh says that even though we're being machmer, and the way the Shagas Aryeh learns, it's even on Tzarech Mit Tzarech, we're not going to be makel on taking a keli to the mikveh Ben Hashmashes. If the purpose of taking the keli only is because I bought it from Vakum, we could be more lenient. And part of the Svara, why the Rosh is lenient, because as we discussed in our previous year, when it comes to taking a keli because you bought it from an Akum to the mikveh the first time, and of course it's an important halacha, and of course the halacha is that one should take such a keli to the mikveh, the halacha still is that such a keli, if you didn't take to the mikveh and you cooked in it, you're allowed to eat the food. So therefore, it's much less of a serious, it's not a question that the food that you put into that keli becomes tameh. So therefore, it's much less serious. And because it's less serious, that's why the halacha is we could be more lenient. Moreover, I saw that there are paiskim that want to differentiate when it's a keli that's made out of metal versus a keli that's made out of glass. The chiv of toivling a keli that's made out of metal is a chiv deraisa. And because it's a chiv deraisa, maybe there we have to be more makel. Whereas a keli that's made out of glass with a chiv of tefillah, even when you buy from an akum, is only a chiv derabbanon, maybe there we could be more lenient. Moreover, says the Shagas Aryeh, even though we're having this discussion about taking a keli to the mikveh Bein Hashmashes, that's only on the Bein Hashmashes of Friday afternoon, when we're going from Friday into Shabbos. But the Bein Hashmashes, when we go from Shabbos into Matzah Shabbos, or from Yontif to Matzah Yontif, there we have to be more machmer. And he says a very poshut svara. Why have we perhaps been makel with being toivel a keli Bein Hashmashes? We're not supposed to toivel something Shabbos, because Bein Hashmashes is only a Bein Hashmashes. It's not full-fledged night. And as we said, we're taking the keli because Tzorich, we need that keli for Shabbos. When somebody's taking the keli to the mikveh Bein Hashmashes, going from Shabbos to Motzoi Shabbos, then he's taking it to Tzorich Chol. He wants to be able to use the keli during the week. Then we have no right to be makel, and we would not allow tefillah. However, says the Gemara, says the Magen Avraham, maybe if there's a real need that you still want to use it during that period, it's so then maybe it still has a halacha of Tzorech Shabbos, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the opinion of the Beis Meir, says that if somebody needs that keli that he's taking to the mikveh Shabbos in the Bein Hashmash, is going from Shabbos to Matzah Shabbos because he wants to use it then, not because he wants to use it after Shabbos. The Beis Meir is Mekel, but the Mishnah Berurah says that one should be Machmer, and even if there are cases that will allow somebody to take a keli to the mikveh Friday evening Bein Hashmashes, there's never a circumstance that we would allow somebody to take a keli Friday Shabbos afternoon to the mikveh. Another question that comes up is that somebody was Mekabel Shabbos early, was Mekabel Yontov early. So the halacha, of course, as we've been learning in our Masechta, is that one is not allowed to take a keli to the mikveh on Shabbos or Yontif. So the question is, but my neighbor or somebody else has not yet been mekabel Shabbos or Yontif. Could I ask him to take the keli to the mikveh? The answer is that he can. However, there's a difference if somebody, what the case is. He says, if somebody was mekabel Shabbos Yontif just to himself, the halacha is that you could ask somebody else to take the keli to the mikveh. If you were mekabel Shabbos just yourself, the Mishnah Berurah is more lenient that you could take it during that period when it's really not night. If the whole tzibur was mekabel Shabbos and you did it as part of a tzibur, then you can't do it yourself. You have to ask somebody else who wasn't yet mekabel Shabbos. We learned in the Mishnah, and as we've said, what we need to understand what the Mishnah means with these words. So, what is the definition of Megav L'Gav? Somebody who took his kalim to the mikveh because he wanted to use them for pressing olives, and he wanted to make sure that his keli was tar when he was going to use the keli for pressing olives. And now he wants to use that keli for wine, or kadayagabekitoy, vice versa. He took the keli to the mikveh for wine, but now he decided to use that keli for oil. Oisa, the halacha is that he doesn't have to take it to the mikveh again. And the fact that he had intention to use it for one purpose does not mean that it is a problem for a different purpose. And therefore, says our Mishnah, if he does take it to the mikveh a second time, and it's yontif. And as we're learning, one may not take a keli to the mikveh on yontif. For this purpose, you're allowed to take it to the mikveh. So, of course, the question is, why would somebody need to do this? If I took the keli to the mikveh, and I did a proper immersion, so what's the difference if I took it for olives and I meant grapes or vice versa? So the Rishonim gives a number of reasons. One, the Rosh suggests, as we've learned, that they were very machman hilchas tahara, especially when it came to yontif time. So therefore, people said, if I took the keli for one purpose, I have to tovel it another time. Others say that the Rashba suggests that when somebody does tefillas kelim, he has to do it with full-fledged kavana, and this person obviously doesn't have the proper kavana. Another pshat that they say is that the person, we're talking about this person has this chumrah. So since this person has this chumrah, he has to be, so for him it's a full-fledged tefillah. And since for him it's a full-fledged tefillah, maybe the halacha ought to be that you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it on Yontif, teaches us that you're allowed to. However, the Rambam, because of the obvious question that we're discussing, what's the shaila? There's really nothing happening with this tefillah, has a different pshat. The halacha is that kelim are used b'tahara for different purposes. That people that use the kelim for chulin, that people that use the kelim for truma, that people that use the kelim for kodesh. And the Rambam says that this person originally used toivled his keli, immersed his keli with the intention to use it for chulin b'tahara, and now he wants to use it for truma. Or he originally wanted to use it for truma, now he wants to use it for kachim. So now, let's try to understand this. So says the Rambam, the person is not taking the keli for taking off tumah, because correct, the tumah has been removed. But the person wants to use it for a higher level of tahara. And therefore, since he wants to use it for a higher level of tahara, maybe that should be considered a required tefillah. And if it's a required tefillah, it may not be done on Yontif. Teaches us the Mishnah that it's not an issue. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah spoke about chabura l'chabura. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, he had intention that he wants to eat the Karm Pesach with one group. We know the Karm Pesach has to be eaten, l'menuyov, it has to be eaten in a group. And therefore, he took all his kalim to the mikvah before Pesach with the intention of using it with that group. And then he changes his mind and he wants to eat with a different group. He has every right to do so, and he doesn't have to take the kalim for, Since he doesn't have to take the kalim to the mikveh again, if he did take it, he's allowed to do it on Yontif. So the question is, how could he change his group? If it's already Yontif, so the Karm Pesach was already obviously slaughtered, because the Karm Pesach is slaughtered on Erev Yontif. And the halach is that once the Karm Pesach is already slaughtered, it's, you can't change groups anymore. So the Rishonim explained that one teretz, they said, that he ate already kazayis with his original group. And the halach is that once you ate a kazayis of the Karm Pesach with your original group, you could take it to another group. The Miri says that we're talking about a person who already made that decision of changing groups before on Erev Pesach, before they shechted the Karm Pesach. But now on the night of Yontif, he wants to take the kalim, so he changed his mind about groups in the proper time. But now he wants to take the kalim because he didn't have in mind that group, he now had in mind a different group. Another explanation, says the Chochmas Menoyach, as we discussed in Masechta Pesachim, Erev Pesach could be on Shabbos. And when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, we shech the Karm Pesach, but Mayadoi even on Shabbos. So what happened over here is that the person went, it's Shabbos, he's changing his mind about which group he wants to participate in before it's Shabbos, before they shech the Karm Pesach, but it's Shabbos. And the question is, he now wants to take the kalim to the mikveh. And the halach is that he is allowed to take it to the mikveh. The Rambam, because of these obvious questions, has a different approach. And his approach of michabura l'chabura has nothing to do with Pesach. He says we're talking about a case where somebody wants to eat ma'aser sheni. And ma'aser sheni also has to be eaten b'tahara, and he's changing his mind which group he's going to participate in to eat the ma'aser sheni with. On Yontif, we speak about three kabbonis that are brought on Yontif. The oil is riyah, the carbon oil that somebody brings when he's oil regal, the shalmi chagiga that we have to bring on Yontif, and the shalmi simcha. And somebody has to bring shalmi simcha. The Gemara Masechta Chagiga Davav teaches us shalosh pam b'shana yiroa kozor churcha pnei hadam Hashem. And that's where we learn that you have to bring carbon chagiga. The Torah says that you have to bring a carbon oil up. The Torah continues saying v'lo yiroa pnei reikam. That's where we learn that you have to bring the shalmi chagiga. And then the Torah says shivus shem tachag l'Hashem alakecha, that we have to bring shlomim. And the Shalom Simcha is because of Samachta B'chagecha. And the question is, which kabbonis may we bring on Yontif? Because, of course, kabbonis that we're going to get the meat from, one can make an argument, we certainly could get, that we get some of the meat from, we should be able to bring, because it's Eichel Nefesh. But now the question is that the main purpose of bringing your carbon? Or aren't you bringing the carbon primarily because you're bringing a carbon for Hashem, and there you don't have the heter of Eichel Nefesh? There's another halacha that when somebody brings, when an individual brings a carbon, he has to do smicha on the carbon. He has to stand next to the carbon and put his two hands on top of the carbon and say vidui. What happens when you bring a carbon shlomim? Other kabbanas are brought because somebody perhaps did an aveira. But when somebody brings a carbon shlomim, there is no aveira involved. So Rambam says when somebody brought a carbon shlomim, he would say divrei shvach. He would say words of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having the opportunity to bring the carbon. So says the Gemara, you're allowed to bring carbon shlomim on yontif because, as we just said, you get portions of meat from that carbon. So bringing the carbon and doing all the malachas involved in bringing a carbon, it doesn't involve chil yontif, and therefore it may be brought on yontif. However, says Beis Shammai, ain't soim chalim. You're not allowed to do smicha on the animal on yontif, because as we're going to learn later in this masechta, the halach is that you're not allowed to do anything with an animal on yontif, and therefore, when smicha is done, particularly since the halach is that smicha has to be done b'kol koichai, with all of your energy, and therefore, that's considered as if you're working with an animal on yontif, and you're not allowed to do that according to Beis Shammai on yontif. Says the Gemara, Avaloi Oilus. Furthermore, says Beis Shammai, when we allow a carbon to be brought in Yontif, it's only a carbon shlomim, where there's a portion that's eaten by the owner. But a carbon oila, which is completely brought on the Mizbeach, and the owner gets no portion of that carbon, says Beis Shammai, such a carbon may not be brought in Yontif. Beis Hillel's opinion is, Vin shlomim ve'oilus, you could bring both a carbon oil and shlomim, and moreover, you could do smich on them. So the Torah ever asks that even if we'll say that doing smich on an animal, according to Beis Shammai, represents that you're doing work with an animal on Shabbos and on Yontif, and you're not allowed to do so, but isn't there a rule of ein shvus b'migdash? So there's no issur derabbanans. And working with an animal is an issur derabbanan. So why would it be usur on Shabbos? So the Turi Evan answers that the smicha did not have to take place strictly in the Azorah. It could be taken place anywhere. Where is there a rule, says the Turi Evan, of Ein Shvus B'Migdosh? Only when something's going to be done only in the Azorah. But something that doesn't have to be done in the Azorah, that rule doesn't apply. The Sfasema says that the rule of Ein Shvus B'Migdosh only applies to the Kohanim. But the person who does smicha, as we just said, is the owner. We don't have that special exception, Ein Shvus B'Migdosh, only for Kohanim who has reason and not to do the carbon anyway. Of course, the question the Turi Evan asks, but what happens to the smicha if you can't do it on Yontif? So the Turi Evan says that the smicha is not me'akif. The halach is that if you didn't do smicha, the halach is that the carbon is still a kosher carbon. And since the carbon is a kosher carbon, the halach is, the Beis Shammai says, bring the carbon even for them who are involved not being able to do the smicha. The kabbanis the Beis Shammai allows us to bring. Says the Gemara, Amar Ula, the machlaikis that we have Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, in our Mishnah is Beis Shammai Chagiga. And the question is, lismach, are we allowed to do smicha? According to Beis Shammai, we may not. According to Beis Hillel, we may. The next subject that says Ula is the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is ba'olus riyah, that we said are brought on yontif likarev. Are you allowed to bring such a carbon on yontif? The Beis Shammai savri, Beis Shammai's opinion is, the pasuk says, v'chagoysim oisoy chag l'ashem shivas yomim. And the Torah using the word chag seems to be superfluous. To teach us, chagiga in, a karma chagiga may be brought on yontif, oilus ria, but oilus ria loy, may not be brought on yontif, you have to bring it during cholamoid. Beis Hillel savri, and Beis Hillel says the word lashem, chag lashem, teaches us, kol de lashem, anything that's brought as a karma for a Kodesh Baruch Hu may be brought on yontif. Aval, according to Ula, the Darm from the Davis, a person during the year obligated himself to bring a carbon. He said, "Arei lo havi oil, lo havi shlomim, whatever." Such a carbon does not be brought on yontif. The divrei hakol and craven be yontif. According to Beis Hillel, the word Lashem, according to Ula, is only speaking about something which is similar to the carbon chagiga. The carbon chagiga has to be brought on yontif. So it teaches us, Beis Hillel, that even the carbon oilus ru'iyah, since it's a carbon that has to be brought on yontif, may be brought on yontif, even though the owners don't get any share of that carbon. However, the darim v'nedavos, where a person donated a carbon, we don't have to bring it on yontif. You could bring it on any time. You can't bring it on yontif. But the question is, why? Why should it be usur? If it's a carbon shlomim that I donated, but when we're going to bring that carbon shlomim, I'm going to get a share of that carbon shlomim. So why is it not included in the heter of Eichel Nefesh? So the Rishonim answer that when somebody brings a carbon, it's not that if you bring a carbon shlomim, part of it goes to the Mizbeach and part of it goes to you. Really, the entire carbon belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You bring a carbon LaHashem, then the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Kohanim sometimes, and sometimes the owner, a portion of that carbon. Since it's going to Hashem, you don't have the heter of Eichel Nefesh, and therefore if it's a carbon, as we just discussed, according to Ula, according to everybody, the halach is that if it's a carbon that you did not have to bring on Yontif, you have to bring it after Yontif. So now, of course, the question is, Rashi asks, that if it's limited to what kind of kabbonis we could bring on Yontif, so why should we not wait to bring all kabbonis during Chol HaMoed? So Rashi says, because we're concerned that something will happen, and you're not going to bring and Yontif will pass, and you will have not brought your carbon, and that's why Chazal were machmer to bring it even to allow to bring it on Yontif. So of course the question is, ask Rabbi Chanan and the Kaibet Shurim, this person is not bringing the carbon on Yontif because we're limiting what you're allowed to do in Yontif. And what's his intention? His intention is to bring it during Chol HaMoed. So this person is intending to do right. Now, Chas V'Shalom, something will come up and there'll be an oinus that will prevent him from bringing the carbon. Why should he be held responsible? So he says, so Rabbi Chanan answers that the heter of Eichel Nefesh really teaches us that we're ready to bring the carbon. It's not something that we do reluctantly. We often speak about the concept of hutra and the chuya. He says, hutra means that it's completely mutter. Eichel Nefesh on Yontif is hutra. And since Eichel Nefesh on Yontif is hutra, then we want to take advantage of that heter and bring the carbon on Yontif, even though we could have brought it at another time. The question says the Gemara, V'chein amar Rav Ad bar Hava, Nedar v'davis ain't craving b'yontif. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, they asked on Ula's interpretation of the Machlokes Beisham Beisil from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Amar Rav Shimon Allah Zalai Nechloku Beisham Beisil al Oilu Shenesh Yontif. Everybody agrees that an Oilu that doesn't have to be brought on Yontif, somebody donated a carbon Oilu, everybody agrees she ain't craving b'yontif. They're not allowed to bring that carbon Oilu on Yontif. Everybody furthermore agrees, Ashlom Shen Shal Yontif, Shalmi Chagiga, Shalmi Simcha, that you bring them on Yontif. Because we're going to get a portion of the meat. The owners are going to get the portion of meat. Aman Nechaku, Al Yoyla Shalisha Yontif, a Yoyla which is Yontif, because on one hand, this man to bring the carbon is on Yontif, but on the other hand, the owners won't get any portion of that carbon. Vashlom Shen Shal Yontif, or Shlomim of a Neder and a Dava. Shabeshama Imrim Lo Yavi, don't bring them on Yontif. Or Beisil Amrim Yavi, you should bring them in Yontif. So we see clearly in the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar that Shamli Nedarim and Nedavis may be brought on Yontif according to Beis Hillel. But according to Ula, Ula said that even Beis Hillel agrees that any Neder and Nedava, even a carbon Shlomim, may not be brought on Yontif. So, and what's the reason for this explanation of Beis Hillel? Because since the owner, as we said, is going to get a portion of the meat, that's enough to put it into the heter of Eichel Nefesh. Answers the Gemara, Tritz ve'aymahachi. So Ula is going to interpret the Braisa this way. Amar Shimon Elazar, lo nechlu b'sham Beis Hillel al oil of shlom she'en ashi yontif. They agree that oil of shlom that are not of yontif, she'en kreven b'yontif. Ashlom shel yontif, shlom that are yontif, shami simcha, Shami Chagiga should crave him beyontif. Amanechku al elishi yontif. Shebe Shamam lo yavi, Beis Hillel amrim yavi. But according to this version, Nedarim and Venedavis, everybody will agree, may be brought on Yontif. Why could it be brought on Yontif? Because as we keep on saying, he's getting a portion of them. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Tanai Shalk Be'alma, you can't find any Tanoim that have this machlaikis. In other words, because of what Ula said, we were pushed into a situation. We were pushed into a situation that Ula needs to do something with this brisa, and the Gemara went and amended the brisa. Says the Gemara, there are Tanoim that we could suggest that this question that Ula is discussing is actually a machlokes Tanoim, and Ula is going to follow the other Tanoim that don't agree with Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So I saw that the Eretz Tzvi, the Kozel Gavarov, explains this expression that the Gemara used, Tanoi Shaklet Mi Alma. Where does the word Alma come here? The world. He says, we know that the Zohar says, Estakel Baraisa Ubara Alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah HaKadosh, and with that he created the world. So he says, what do we see from that? That the Torah, and that those that learn the Torah, are the ones that keep the world going. And that's what he's saying. Tanai shakalt ma'alma. If you're going to ignore the machloikas tanoim, that means you're taking away some of the limud haTorah. What he was saying to Ula, where Rejevsu was saying, is there's a machloikas tanoim. And if we're not going to learn the opinion of all of the tanoim, we're going to be taking away from the limud haTorah of the world. We have no right to take away from the limud haTorah of the world. The world needs every Tana. The world needs every Dvar Torah. Because every Tana and every Dvar Torah that's learned, Alma, the world depends on for its survival. Says Rabbi Yosef, this is Machloikas Tanoim. The Tani Shlom Abay Machmas Yontif. Shlom that come because of Yontif. Beshama are Mesoy Mechalei Erev Yontif. Beshama, as we've been learning, says Smicha may not be done on Yontif. So you have to do the Smicha from Erev Yontif. Veshaych them on Yontif and then do the Shchita on Yontif. Veshiloim Mesoy Mechalei Be Yontif. You could do the Smicha on Yontif. Veshaych them on Yontif. So that's the machloikis that we learned in our Mishnah. If smicha may or may not be done on Yontif. Avon, Darvin, the Davis. Clearly, this Tana is the opinion, like Ula said. Everybody, both Beishamah and Beisil, will agree that the Vayakal ain't craving the Yontif. Says the Gemara, Vahani Tanoim. This machloikis, if the Darvin, the Davis could be brought on Yontif, Kahani Tanoi, is really connected to another machloikis Tanoim, the Tanya. One may not bring a carbon toida a matzis because when somebody brings a carbon toida, he has to bring along with the carbon toida 40 chalas, 4 times 10, 10 different type of chalas, and 30 of them are matzah, and 1 is chametz, and therefore it can't be brought on chametz shabai. You can't bring that because it has chametz. Loibat Seris, it can't be brought on Shavuos, Nesha Yontif. Shavuos is a Yontif, and on Yontif you're not allowed to bring Nedarim v'Nedavos, and a carbon taida is a Nedar v'Nedavos. A person obligated himself to bring that carbon taida. Ava mei oda tadas b'chag sukkos. Cholamayit sukkos, you could bring a carbon taida. Rav Shimon Omer, Hareyu Omer, the Torah says, in the parsha of Yom Tovim, Shalosh Pam B'Shana Yirah Kol Zechurchas Pnei Hashem Alakecha B'Koyim Mesher Yivchor B'Chag Matzis B'Chag Shavuos B'Chag Sukkos Kol Shabbat B'Chag Matzis. We'll see what this means. Any carbon that can be brought on Pesach B'Chag Shavuos B'Chag Sukkos Kol Shloi B'Chag Matzis, and any carbon that cannot be brought on Chag Matzis and above B'Chag Shavuos B'Chag Sukkos. As I said, the Gemara will explain it in a moment. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, maybe Adam Tavasso B'Chag Sukkos. A person to bring his carbon toida on Sukkos V'Yoytz B'Abedei Shum Simcha, and you could use that carbon to be Yoytz also the Chiyuv of Shalmi Simcha on Yontif. V'Eni Yoytz B'Shum Chagiga, because the Chiyuv of carbon Chagiga has to come from separate money. You can't, so to speak, two birds with one stone, and you can't use the animal that you're using for carbon toida that should also fulfill your obligation to bring shalmei chagiga. Whereas the shalmei simcha are brought just to eat the meat of the carbon and have simcha when you eat that meat. So it doesn't make a difference if that carbon also happens to be a carbon taida, because you're going to have simcha when you bring that carbon. And therefore, since you're going to have simcha when you bring that carbon, you're allowed to bring it and use it for two purposes. Amar, so Gemara just said, we're not allowed to bring the carbon taida on Pesach. Emavin taida b'chag matzis, nei chomet shabo. Ask the Gemara Pshita. Of course, it's Pesach. Answers the Gemara. Amar of Adab Reid of Yitzchak. V'amar loy Rav Shmuel bar Abba. Hocha bar Abba osa skinen. We're not talking about Pesach. We're talking about Erev Pesach. For Kesavar, Emavin kachon beis apsol. The halacha is that a carbon taida is nechal yoyim v'layla. The carbon taida and the various chalas that we described that come along with the carbon taida are eaten for one day and one night. But we know that once Erev Pesach in the afternoon comes, we're not allowed to eat the carbon, we're not allowed to eat chametz, and certainly we're not allowed to eat chametz at night. So we're bringing the carbon Pesach at that period, we're causing that, we're limiting the amount of time that we could eat the carbon taida. And one aim of being kachon l'pekais psul that we're not allowed to do so. So the Tzlach asks, why don't we say, Esed doich leisasei, the essay of eating from the carbon should be doich the leisasei of eating chametz. So he answers that there's no absolute obligation to eat the carbon taida, for the owners to eat from the carbon. So that's not the kind of mitzvah essay that we say, essay doich leisasei. V'loi betzeres. Furthermore, says the Gemara, carbon taida may not be brought on Shavuos, neishu yontif. Shavuos is a yontif. The ksav and the darim of the davus ain't craving be yontif. One can't bring, as we've been discussing in our shir, to the darim of the davus on yontif. Ava mevi adam teyadosa b'chagas sukkos. That's what the Tanakhama said. Ask the Gemara, Amos, when on yontif sukkos are we bringing these carbon toida? Ilay be yontif atzmai. We're speaking about bringing the carbon on yontif itself. V'amart, we just said, v'loy b'atzeres, that the carbon toida may not be brought on Shavuos b'neishu yontif, and the darim and the davus may not be brought on yontif. So the same thing should be on yontif sukkos, that we shouldn't be allowed to bring the carbon. Says the Gemara, we're talking about chol shamayit. Rav Shimon says, "Harei oimer b'chag matzahs, b'chag shavuos, b'chag sukkos." We learned from and so explains Rav Shimon, "Kol shaba b'chag matzahs, b'chag shavuos, b'chag sukkos." Any carbon that we could bring on Pesach can be brought shavuos and sukkos. For kol shloi b'chag matzahs, ain't about b'chag shavuos, b'chag sukkos. So Posh Pshat the Gemara is to say that just like we can't bring the carbon toida on Pesach because there's chametz in the carbon toida, it may not be brought on Shavuos and Sukkos either. Maskler of Zera. So ask the Gemara, Hashta Sluti Masaltinen. That means the Gemara is saying that even on Chol Hamoed Sukkos, one may not bring carbon toida. So ask the Gemara, if on Sukkos, on Chol Hamoed Sukkos, we could collect wood, so certainly Nadarim v'Nadavis, which it certainly be by it. So the simplest way to do it, to explain the Gemara, is that pulling wood is a machshirei oichel nefesh. And many times when we speak about oichel nefesh, we differentiate between machshirei oichel nefesh and oichel nefesh. Cutting wood is machshirei oichel nefesh. And what the Gemara is saying is that if machshirei oichel nefesh on mutar on yontif and chol hamoed, certainly bringing a carbon where I'm going to get a portion of the meat, so it's considered in the category of oichel nefesh, should be mutar on yontif. The Nishmas Adam has a different approach. He says when we speak about melacha on chol hamoed, Chazal, the Torah left it up to Chazal to determine which melacha may be done on chol hamoed and which melacha may not be done on chol hamoed. So if Chazal we find, says the Gemara, Sluti Masaltinan, allows us to do that type of malach on Chol Hamoed, they certainly ought to allow us to bring carbon carbonus on Chol Hamoed. So how could the Gemara say that we're not allowed to do, we should not be allowed to bring a carbon toid on Chol Hamoed Sukkos? Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, this is the way to understand. Bakruavel kulam lai pligi deshari. Everybody will agree that you're allowed to be makar a carbon taida on chol hamoed. Ki pligi, the Gemara introduces a new issue. L'meikim alei b'bal ta'achar. The Torah says, ki sida neder l'Hashem l'kecho, lo yisa'acha l'shalmai. And the question is, At what point is somebody over about to acher? Tanakam sover, sholosh regalim omer rachmona. The Torah says that if you let three yom tovim pass and you didn't fulfill your obligation, you're over about to acher. And there's no specific order in which these three yom tovim take place. Afilu shloka sidron, as soon as three yom tovim pass, you're over about to acher. And that's why the Tanakam said, and he's saying that if somebody brought his carbon, somebody obligated himself to bring a carbon taida, he should be careful to bring it on Sukkos, even if Sukkos is the first yontif after he took upon himself this obligation, because if he won't bring it on Sukkos, he'll have to come specially to Yerushalayim to bring his carbon taida. Because he can't say, oh, well, I'll bring it Pesach. Because on Pesach, he can't bring a carbon taida. He can't say, I'll bring it on Shavuos. Because he can't bring it the carbon on Shavuos. And once three Yom Tovim pass, he'll be over Baal Ta'achar. Rav Shimon Sover, Kesidron in. You have to bring, there's a din about Ta'achar. But the din about Ta'achar is only if the three Yom Tovim passed in the order that the Torah said, b'chag matzis, b'chag shvuos, b'chag sukkos. Shloi kesidron loy. And therefore, if you didn't bring it on, you didn't bring it on Sukkos, which was the first yontif, you're still going to have a time to bring it next year's Sukkos, because Sukkos has to pass. And that's why the Torah is telling us you could wait. And Rav Shimon is not so concerned if you don't bring it on the first Sukkos. Continues the Gemara. The Brisa said, Rabbi Elazar of Shimon Omer, maybe Adam Tadosa b'chaga Sukkos. Amos. Exactly what is he talking about? Elamus b'chal moid, that he's saying you're allowed to bring on a chal moid. That's what the Tanakhama said. The Tanakhama said they were allowed to bring the carbon toid on chal moid Sukkos. Ela b'yontif. And obviously his opinion is, k'sov in the darm and the dove is craving b'yontif. He held you're allowed to bring the darm and dove is in yontif. And therefore you don't have to wait to bring the carbon toid on Cholamayit, you could even bring it on Sukkos. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Chag Sukkos the Nokot. If he holds that the Nadarim and the Davos are brought on Yontif, then you could do it on Shavuos as well. So why does he wait? Why does he speak about Sukkos? The halacha would be the same on Shavuos. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar of Shimon Tamei, the Tanya, the Torah says, B'chag Matz, B'chag Shavuos, B'chag Sukkos. Rav Shimon Omer, the Torah shouldn't have mentioned Chag HaSukkos. Shabbat Kos Medaber. This parsha is in the parsha of Chag HaSukkos. Loma Nemer. So why did the Torah have to repeat the word Sukkos? Loma Shazah Achron. That this is the last of the three Yom Tovim. That they have to go, as we mentioned, in order, when we speak about Baal Ta'achar, they go specifically in the order that we just mentioned. The order that we mentioned, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. And until we went in that order, you're not over Baal Ta'achar. Rabbi Elazar of Shimon Omer, he disagrees, and he says, that Sukkos, it doesn't make a difference if Sukkos is the first yontif, the second yontif, the third yontif. As soon as Sukkos passes, he's over Baal Ta'achar. And that's what the Gemara is trying to teach us by mentioning, that's what he's mentioning, Chag Sukkos, that the Isser of Baal Ta'achar is completely dependent on Chag HaSukkos.